Fun Balloons by Don Howarth.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have one of your computer-matic washing machines, and the phases are not working properly.
Oh, dear.
I've called the engineers twice.
I was going to say, it sounds like a repair job.
I've twice waited in for them all day.
And they haven't arrived?
No.
It's not us, love. We're only the showrooms. It's servicing.
Or lack of it.
Or lack of it. Ring 2468070.
I've done that. They've made appointments and they haven't arrived.
Oh, I know, love, but they are the people. We're only the showrooms.
Yes.
What did you say was wrong?
The phasing.
Is that an electrical component?
No, the phasing. The phasing of the programme.
The programme.
The intervals between each process.
Oh, I think they need intervals, love, for the soap to work.
Oh, yes, quite, but the intervals are all wrong. The process happens at the wrong speed.
Wrong speed?
Yes, the wrong speed. It'll squirt the soap out before it's had time to do its office.
Office?
It'll spin the clothes dry before the rinsing water's properly run in to make them wet.
Oh, I do understand it's wrong, love, but I've only been here 3 months. I haven't done the course yet.
Well,
Mr. Gibbs, but he's in the stockroom on the phone to his wife.
All right. Well, I'll wait till he comes off the phone.
I'm sorry.
I'm not blaming you.
Do you do your own washing, then?
Yes.
You live alone?
Now.
He won't be long now on the phone. Do you do your own cooking, too?
Unless some kind young lady...
Oh, you never know your luck. Now, I better get some particulars. What was the word you used?
Kind young lady.
Oh, come on. About the machine.
Phasing.
Phasing. I don't know about that, but for a start, I think we'll need to know what model it is.
Oh, we got it just before she cleared off.
Well, I can't put that down.
Well, say, 2 years old, three, whatever that model was.
Top loader?
Yes.
And the serial number on the plate underneath?
Well, I've never been underneath. It only stands the height of its little casters from the floor.
Oh, you'd have to tip it up.
Honestly, I don't really think...
Oh, it's just a formality.
But the point is, can't you speak to the service blokes? Can't you lift a telephone?
Well, I can't at the moment, love. Mr. Gibbs is on it to his wife.
But when he's off it to his wife?
Well, he'll be at liberty then to attend to you, so perhaps the matter won't arise.
Forgive me, but I do have the impression of having walked into a branch of a lunatic asylum.
I know, but they're really all right. Mr. Gibbs is a bit eccentric, but he's ever so nice, really. It's the customers who are unreasonable. They drive them round the bend.
Who does?
The service blokes. They drive the customers bonkers.
By continually not turning up?
Or by overstaying their welcome. They are tough with the housewives, then charge double time. Oh, Mr. Gibbs, can you come through, please? We had a man in last week complaining that he'd been charged for 5 hours' labour.
That's right, 5 hours' labour. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
5 hours, he said. What could he conceivably have been doing for 5 hours?
He said he can't have been on the
he
job.
He said, yes, he can't have been on the job 5 hours, he said.
And you said you wouldn't have thought so, but he must have been because
she'd signed for it. Oh, if I had my time again, I wouldn't come into sales, I can tell you. What can I do for you?
I've got a computer-matic washing machine.
Aren't they a lovely job?
And on the programming side... Look, there are two condensers and a solenoid.
There are 500 parts, old son, but if you want a technical discussion...
Oh, no, I don't. The machine's buster. I want it put right.
Service department. 2468070.
Yes, I've already made appointments with them. Twice.
And they haven't turned up?
Oh, well then, I'm your man. You want to make a complaint.
I want somebody to get a repairman round.
Well, that's servicing, 2468070. Yeah,
but I've come up against a blank wall with servicing.
He really has come up against a blank wall.
Then you want to make a complaint.
Oh, all right, if that's the way to get a man round.
It's all that I can do towards it, Olson.
You are the same firm, aren't you?
Certainly we are, otherwise we couldn't take up your complaint.
You can't just pick up a phone to your service department and fix a time while I'm standing here.
No. They're programmed.
Who?
The engineers. They get a programmed printout of the day's calls every morning.
All right, then. I've been on their printout twice, and they haven't called.
No, that's what he's saying. He's been on their printout twice, and they haven't called.
All right. Human failings.
But he's waited in.
That somebody's got to be disappointed.
Why?
The engineers want all the jobs they can get. They're on a productivity bonus.
Well, why don't they do the jobs, then?
Because, old son, the computer prints out more jobs than they're likely to do to make sure there isn't a shortfall. There'll be a few calls not done 9 days out of 10.
But if they know they're not coming...
They can't know they're not coming, old son, until they haven't been.
Is there any reason why they can't...
Ring up and come the next day.
That's not their job. They're programmed by the computer.
Then why doesn't the computer...
It's got no means of knowing our son. It's only a machine.
So, they're loaded with more jobs than they can get through. They spend half the time in fornication.
Not half. That's an exaggeration.
Well, part of it, then.
Well, that's taxation.
What is?
You can put it down directly to taxation. Beyond a certain level, there's no incentive. They're working for the government.
So at the end of the day, they've got calls they haven't got to.
Yes.
The computer doesn't know about them.
It can't.
And you've no system for bringing them forward.
We've a perfect system. People ring up and tell us we haven't called.
You call that a system?
It's an excellent system.
Depending on people patiently allowing themselves to be ignored.
Not patiently. They get exasperated. They roar down the phone to the service department.
Where they get cut off in mid-sentence.
And not if you're roaring. People who roar usually get satisfaction.
Satisfaction?
They get on the next printout.
Do you mean a big international organisation can only be made to work by exasperating its customers to the point of roaring down telephones?
It doesn't seem right, does it, old son? But you tell me a more efficient system. Find the point of the strongest human concern, and you've found the starting point for action. Now, that's the saying of Mr. Cadman's, our chairman.
It's very true.
Isn't it true, Meadow?
Very true.
It's part of his philosophy. Start with people. Computermatic doesn't have 130,000 employees in Great Britain, he says. It has 130,000 human beings.
All right.
But isn't that a fine sentiment coming from a man in his position? Wouldn't life be different if we all looked at it in that way?
Right. Well, if as one human being here you could lift the telephone and speak to a second human being in the service department and arrange for a third human being, to wit, an engineer...
Oh, now that's not like you. Don't talk to Mr. Gibbs like that. He's under stress.
All right, Meryl. Go and attend to that old lady at the cookies. Right, sir, I am under some stress, but aren't we all? You've come through a period of some anguish, haven't you, pal? I'd say you're a victim of the permissive society.
I'd say I'm a victim of a computer-matic washing machine.
Ooh. Well, all right. It's absurd, therefore I believe...
Well, in that case...
A very clever man is responsible for that saw or saying, Mr. Cutman.
Right. Then if you'll just get on the phone...
I can't.
You're the same organisation, aren't you?
How can I put it to you? We are part of the same organisation, but it's so vast. I'm told by those in the know that it can't even be represented in two dimensions. You begin to get an inkling in three dimensions. Coloured cubes that rotate in the hot eddies above the conference rooms, but they're only really toys to amuse the sales reps.
The sales reps?
Yeah, and people like me. I don't pretend to understand it, old son. But I believe that the organisation of Computermatic International can be explained only in four or five dimensions, and then in a formulation comprehensible only to advanced mathematicians. So there can be no question whatever of me getting on the blower to old Harry Fletcher down at the service department.
Harry Fletcher?
Oh, no, please. Don't pounce on that. A slip of the tongue. I am under some stress, and I really do want to do my best for you.
Yes, well, all I'm asking...
Call me Jeff.
All I'm asking, Jeff, will somebody come...
And I can call you,
Tom. All I'm asking, Jeff, will somebody come and mend the machine?
I hope so, Tom.
Look, give me the address. I'll drive down and see Harry Fletcher.
That was onto no, Tom. I am under some stress.
Well, all right, but where is it?
The service department, Tom.
The service department?
Well, it's not represented in the coloured cubes.
What street is it on?
If it's not in the cube, well, perhaps it doesn't exist in the three spatial dimensions.
All right. Telephone lines run into it. Girls answer. Harry Fletcher's there.
Well, then... It's a depot. People wandering about with spare parts and screwdrivers. But they'd only send you to the telephone exchange. That's what deals with requests for service.
That's what doesn't deal with them.
All right. So you've come to me, Tom, and what I can do and what I'm most willing to do is to file a complaint on the direct input to the computer, and you may well find the repair engineer on your doorstep tomorrow. I can't say fairer than that, Tom.
Okay.
Jeff.
Okay, Jeff.
Formal complaint, Merrill. Oh, when you've finished with your customer, no rush, madam. Take your time. You can go into any branch of ours, Tom, and complain. That's one thing Mr. Cadman does insist on. If you buy any product of ours, be it a washing machine, an aircraft navigational control system, a computerized television studio, whatever it is, you can walk into any of our showrooms, Bournemouth, Bolton, Berwick-on-Tweed, you name
it,
and complain.
Good morning.
Yes, one thing you must say for Mr. Cadman. He will not have our customers push from pillar to post. This is one of his sayings, very profound. The complexity of our organization must not be used to frustrate or bamboozle our clients or in any way conceal shortcomings on our own part. Mr. Cadman is a very human being. And you can be assured, Tom, that a very human view will be taken of your complaint.
All right.
Jeff.
Complaint form, Mr. Gibbs.
Ah, thanks, Merrill. Right, then. I, Tom, whatever your name is, being of sound mind, do hereby enter formal complaint against Computermatic Great Britain Limited, namely and to wit... What was it, Merrill?
What was what?
To wit what?
He fixed it twice and the blokes didn't pitch up.
That's right.
No, it's wrong, Tom. We're very much at fault, I fear. Right. Details?
I've taken them.
Model?
Doesn't know.
Serial number?
Hasn't looked. He lives on his own. His wife's done a bunk.
I see.
See what?
You haven't had a repairman out, have you?
What's wrong with you? I'm complaining.
No, I mean on a previous occasion.
No.
Because some of the lads don't like to go back a second time.
They haven't been a first time.
Don't care to pay a return visit to blokes. Well, some blokes who live alone just fancy the repairmen.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, Tom, Mr. Gibbs, there's nothing like that.
Because the lads have had a lot of it to put up with.
Oh, but not from Tom. You can tell that, can't you?
Well, I can't, love. I was born when the world was very innocent. I apologise.
They do get a lot of it, Tom.
That lad wouldn't go back to Princess Avenue for his toolkit, would he? Little bloke like a ferret sneaked up behind him while he had his head down in the tumblers.
Oh, that wasn't Princess Avenue.
It was?
Princess Avenue was the fat woman with the Volkswagen Passat.
You're right. Volkswagen Passat and a pair of thighs like a wild horse. Poor lad, he's still running. we have some laughs, sir. Are you on maintenance, Tom?
Maintenance?
Do you pay an annual premium for routine servicing?
No.
Well, Tom, that's not quite playing the game, is it?
What do you mean?
There's a choice, Mr. Gibbs.
No machine will go forever without attention.
I don't expect it to, but when it breaks down...
Well, if it was on maintenance, it'd be less likely to break down.
Look, if I buy a machine, I'm not going to be blackmailed.
No question of blackmail. It's your own choice.
So it's no reason why you shouldn't have a repairman out.
I'm not saying it is. But if it isn't on maintenance, it'll become you, Tom, when you get a breakdown, to turn vociferous.
I haven't turned vociferous.
Well, certainly he hasn't.
I have asked in a perfectly reasonable way.
All right. I know what you've asked. Could I see your Owners Club membership card?
I'm not a member.
Everybody's a member.
If you sign the guarantee.
It's automatic if you sign the guarantee.
Oh, perhaps your wife signed before
no,
she...
No, I signed everything like that.
But you're not wearing the club badge. You should.
We get all sorts of trips.
Round our factories at Workington and Dunstable.
And the plants in West Germany. See the May blossom on the Rhine.
You've missed out on all that, Tom.
I'm not interested.
But it's still no excuse, Tom, for not wearing the Owners Club badge. You're a ship, Tom. It's not language I'd ever dream of using in the showroom, but you're a turd of the first magnitude. There's no other word for it. I'm going.
You little rot. Come back. I'll break it.
Tom, please.
I'm not going to stand.
No, I know. But Tommy is under stress. The area manager's due this morning.
Right. I'll speak to the area manager.
Oh, please don't get him into trouble, Tom.
Where's he gone?
To relieve himself. He was hopping from foot to foot. I'm sure he only said what he did as a means of getting away.
He could have said.
Oh, but they don't in this organisation. This old bloke, Cadman, the boss, he doesn't like indelicacy.
Doesn't like indelicacy? Did you not hear what he said? Oh, forget it. I'll write to head office.
Oh, no, please. Let me just say something.
I've heard enough.
Oh, please don't go. You haven't heard this. Mr. Gibbs is under stress. He's on Librium and sleeping pills. And with Mr. Parton due at any
That's
moment...
That's no reason.
No, but before you storm out, there is a reason for it. His wife is very ill.
Is she?
Yes, she is, Tom. And he's always in a state when the area manager's coming. He's a nice man, except for his nerves playing him up.
That's none of my business.
He's coming back now. If you could just be a bit patient.
Look, Tom, I'm sorry for what I said. I have these outbursts.
Understood. All right.
No, it's not all right. You're not a turd.
Thank you.
Let alone of the first magnitude.
And in any case, it's language.
Yes, it is. I should learn at my age to talk without using language.
No, everybody understands you're under stress, Mr. Gibbs.
It's no excuse. I'm sorry you missed the trip down the Rhine, Tom, but you might come up lucky with your complaint. Did you know, Merrill, that Mr. Cadman personally sees 10 complainants chosen at random every week?
What is he?
It's the first thing you'll learn when you go on the course. Who can I complain to? And you go to any big organisation, and who can you complain to? They'll fob you off from one department to another. You'll die before they do. It used to be like that here. And then one day, Mr. Cadman was paying a surprise visit to our Ipswich branch, and a spirited old lady was thumping the counter and demanding, "Is there not one person in this crackpot organisation capable of dealing with a complaint?" And this is not codology, it's real Pukka Jen. Mr. Cadman swept off his hat and said, "There is, madam, me."
And he's the real Panjandrum of this outfit.
Millionaire 10 times over, but big, direct, simple. And he may very well see you, Tom.
Sent a lady to Bermuda.
That's right. Disappointed with one of our vacuums.
It electrocuted her cat.
Isn't that the act of a big man? It'll be the experience of a lifetime if you get to see him, Tom.
But doesn't he sometimes find against people?
Very exceptionally. Merrill, ring home for me and tell Daisy I'll be on the phone in 10 minutes. He does very exceptionally find against people, Tom. And I hope you won't hold it against me if you finish shattered and down and out.
I don't think that's likely.
He's only a human being like everybody else, but by God, he cracks people. Staff, I'm talking about, really, not customers. Often they don't live long after he's cracked down on them, and if they do, they're human rubbish, drinking mess and dussing at the Salvation Army.
Jeff, all I want...
We all love him. It's the first thing you learn on the course. But to be summoned into his presence... Oh, look, I'll have to sit down.
Jeff? Are you all right, Jeff?
Give me a minute. These formal complaints, you never know how they'll end.
Oh, look, I never wanted to make a formal complaint. I'll withdraw it. I just want my machine mended.
Too late. I fed it into the direct input.
When?
Just now when I went out.
I thought you'd gone to relieve yourself.
Into the direct input? You're trying to get me taken up before Mr. Cadman, aren't you?
Oh, I'm not.
You're deliberately suggesting that that pee in his ear.
Oh, ridiculous.
Just because his name's Cadman. Oh, I saw that flicker of a smile when I first mentioned his name.
What smile?
Oh, come off it. That little flicker of a smile inviting a similar smile of connivance from me.
What about?
Cadman.
What about Cadman?
Only certain kinds of people are called Cadman, aren't they?
Look, I'm not interested in the personalities of your bloody hierarchy. All I want is the washing machine put right.
Watch it, young fellow, watch it.
And you watch it too.
We've got off on the wrong foot. We did actually get off on the right foot, didn't we? We had a bit of a laugh together.
Yes, all right.
That's my fault. I'm befuddling the issue unintentionally, but I've sown the seeds of confusion.
Then can we get on with it?
Certainly, Tom. Model, type, serial number. If you'll telephone me that information later, we can now bounce straight on to the second section. Details of complaint.
The blokes didn't turn up.
What dates did they let you down on, Tom?
Last Friday and the previous Thursday.
And you waited in for them all day?
Yes.
What loss of earnings did that incur for you, Tom?
I didn't lose anything.
No, but still, notionally...
I'm not claiming...
Oh, you leave it to the discretion of Computermatic International.
Yes.
You won't lose, old son. Now, personal particulars. You've said you live alone.
Yes.
Well, that's none of our business. It's just that as an organisation, we're on the side of the family. You'd expect us to be, wouldn't you? Domestic goods.
Yeah, I suppose so.
The family that prays together stays together. That's the saying of Mr. Cadman's. Great family man. Pictures of his multi-bambinos all round the office. This huge office he has in London. Ours have left now. One boy and two girls, so... The house is a bit big. Just for Daisy and me.
I see.
I try to get her abroad once a year. 10 days in Benidorm or Mallorca, somewhere within
yes.
our... Well, it's a change of scene. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. You're not here to listen to...
It's okay.
But to get back to it, what's wrong with your machine?
The phasing.
Look, you don't know the model number, but are there two separate pilot lights, or is there a blue illuminated panel?
Bluish.
Well, bluish. And is it a knurled knob for the program or rocker switches?
knurled knob.
It's the 107K, then.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
It'll be on the front of your instruction book. Look, Tom, it's fitted with just about the cheapest timing device you could manufacture. Basically nothing more than a crude electric clock and a plastic flange.
That's not what your brochures say.
But that's selling, Tom.
You mean you say one thing before you sell the machine and something else after you've flogged it?
We don't talk down our product, but they all have this trouble, this model. It's well known.
To whom?
To those who bought it.
But not to those who might be about to buy it.
It can't be old, son, if they've never had one.
You sell machines that you know are shoddy.
They're not shoddy. They're manufactured down to a price.
Down to a price?
We can give you a better system for another £15, but would people pay another £15? The answer is they wouldn't. They'd buy a rival make. We never pretend this is a perfect timing system, but it's robust.
Mine's broken down.
It's value for money. If you pay for a Mini, you don't expect a Rolls-Royce.
Your advertising doesn't say anything about Minis and Rolls-Royces. Have you never heard your own telecommercials?
Yeah, I know, old son, I know. Look, yours is one of the most popular models. It's by far the best buy at the money, but we never pretend it's perfect. Oh, no. Otherwise, what's that chap doing standing over there?
Where?
There, the Mark II 100. That's another £80. Now, if you want a sophisticated timing device...
So, I've paid too little and I've bought a dud.
You bought a less sophisticated timing system.
Which you didn't mention when I bought it.
We weren't asked.
So unsophisticated that it doesn't work at all.
That's a specific complaint, but it is as supplied an adequate system.
A crude electric clock, you said, and a plastic flange.
Which is adequate for the job. Adequate, not perfect.
Well, it's broken down and I want it mended.
Yes. Tom, when I think I'm in the wrong, when I know I'm in the wrong, and I've done it here this morning and I used to do it with the children, when I know I'm in the wrong, I become aggressive.
Do you?
Yes. Now, I thought your voice had that edge just now.
What edge?
Well, the edge it has now.
When?
Now, the way you say, when. The edge it had when you said, what edge? Merrill?
Yes, Mr. Gibbs?
Don't you think Tom had an edge to his voice?
Oh, I didn't hear.
There was no edge.
All right. But the fact is, you've been tinkering, haven't you?
With what?
You've been inside the machine. You pulled it apart.
I haven't.
When will they learn? When will they learn? When will they learn, Merrill?
I don't know, Mr. Gibbs.
Isn't it a thing they learn at their mother's knee?
You think so?
Don't tinker. All you've got to do is to make an appointment for a visit by one of our senior engineers.
Who won't turn up.
How can they? How can they get round all the jobs when every simple fault has been hopelessly complicated by incompetent tinkering?
I have not tinkered.
And every attempt to analyse it confounded by barefaced lying.
I am not lying.
You said there were two condensers and a solenoid.
There are.
Well, they're in a sealed unit.
They're not.
And you want it open.
I haven't.
You're provided with the finest piece of electrical equipment on the domestic market and your response is to take a tin opener to it.
I have not taken a tin opener to it.
Look, please, both of you, please don't start shouting again. Mr. Parton's due any minute.
Right. I'll wait to see him.
What for?
To complain about the bloody machines, the bloody service, and the bloody-minded branch managers.
No, please, not that.
No, I'll lose my bonus.
He could, Tom.
I could. They're customer-orientated.
And he is under stress.
I can't help that.
You can help piling it on. If you complain about him and he loses his bonus, how's he going to take his wife abroad? Branch managers in this organisation are paid less than bloody plumbers.
Merrill, please.
Well, they are. Me too. I'd be better off banging a till in a supermarket. There's no reason to drop him in the dirt, Tom. He gets her breakfast, he whips home at lunchtime, he stays in all night with her.
I'm not looking for sympathy.
Quite. That's the last thing Mr. Gibbs looks for. He might find her dead any time. And people like you, without knowing the facts, come in ranting about pettifogging defects.
I'm not ranting. It's not pettifogging. And he's no need...
He has no need to take on, and I've told him. But he's on Mogadon and Librium. Oh, he takes so many pills that if you shook him, he'd rattle.
That's not my concern.
It's not your concern, and it's not your bonus. I told you how he was. If you'd had the least humanity about you, you might have made allowances.
If I hadn't made allowances... And I've knocked his head through the sodding wall half an hour ago.
Don't threaten me. I've done unarmed combat.
You'll clobber you if you take that tone.
Oh, come on then, let's have you. Come out from behind that counter. Take your coat off.
Oh, Tom, please. Jeff. Mr. Parton.
Hello, Jeff. Something wrong, Jeff? Jeff, is it Daisy?
No. Not Daisy Rod.
This is Tom, Mr. Parton.
Glad to know you, Tom.
Tom's complaining.
It sure didn't sound like he'd come in with a testimonial. What about?
Usual complaint. Service blokes not turning up.
Is that usual? If it is, it's pretty serious, and if it's only once, I guess that's once too often for Tom.
And twice is twice too often.
Twice? Jesus, Tom, this is one we've got to get to the bottom of.
I'm not interested in getting to the bottom. I want the machine repaired.
It will be, Tom.
When?
Why, today, Tom. When else? Merrill, get Harry Fletcher.
You said you couldn't do that.
No, I was taking particulars.
Service management, please, Mr. Fletcher.
You said you couldn't speak to Harry Fletcher.
It doesn't work that way.
That's not the way it's normally geared, Tom.
Here. Would you put me through to Mr. Fletcher, please? Thank you. Mr. Fletcher.
Thank you, Merrill. Hello, Harry. Okay, and how's Brenda? Fine, Harry, fine. Look, Harry, I'm with Jeff, Harry. Now, just how quick can you get one of your best boys round here, Harry? Hmm? Yeah? 12 noon, okay, Tom?
Well,
yeah. 12 noon, Harry, fine. All okay now, Tom?
Okay.
You see, it's simple if you're only civil about it.
I was civil, and it was anything but simple.
It sure didn't sound simple out in the street, Merrill. Anyway, we're all friends again.
And all I want is a letter of apology.
Letter of apology?
They're coming to the machine.
It's all sorted out for you.
But if that's the way you really feel, Tom, I'm more than willing to go through the tape.
The tape? What tape?
You're bugged all the time you're in here.
Bugged? Merrill, why, that sounds sinister.
Well, it's just a record.
Sure. So if the showroom staff want to check back on some detail... But look, the branch manager can wipe the tape any time he likes, every night, every week.
We do it when the tapes are used up.
Sure. It's as casual as that, Tom. And if that's what you want, Tom, I'm more than willing to take the tape with me and...
Computermatic? Yes. Hold on, please. Mr. Fletcher.
Harry? Hello, Harry. Oh, for Christ's sake, Harry.
Oh, technical itch.
Okay, Harry, but just make sure it is 1:30, eh? Tom, I don't know how to say this.
I heard.
It seems they're all out. And the standby Harry was counting on, he's out too, filling in for somebody.
I see.
Tom, if you could bear with us until 1:30.
1:30?
Or 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
As early as we can make it. If you like to go on home, Tom, the repairman...
I'll collect him here.
Sure, Tom, whatever you say.
And I'll also collect a letter of apology, please.
Hello, Tom. Oh, dear. Here
in the stock room.
Will you go through?
Is that Tom?
Yes.
Step right through, Tom. Your man will be here any moment. Oh, happy days, eh, Jeff?
Happy days, yes.
Jeff's telling me about the old days, Tom, trying to get wireless sets back from the folks who didn't pay. Have a seat.
Meek, anemic little woman she was. Charlie, she shouted, a gentleman from the wireless relay. What for? He shouts from somewhere inside. Take the set back, she said. I heard him getting off the bed, sort of rumble like a coal lorry unloading, and then this bloody great bruiser comes striding down the hall. What do you want to take the set back for? He says. Well, I use my wits. Old Johnny Lane always told me, use your wits. Because we wish, sir, to offer you a model with a better tone, I said. Model yes. With a better tone. Happy days. Oh, Johnny Lane. It was his business before Harker's took it over.
Which was before Computermatic.
Oh, it was half a dozen takeovers before Computermatic. This stockroom was a workshop, and old Johnny Lane was here with his soldering irons and things. And I was out upon the slates, wiring people up. And then Friday nights and Saturdays, both of us went round with the old satchel collecting the rentals. Demarcation. We didn't know what it meant.
Real private enterprise, eh?
Well, old Johnny used to switch over from the national to the regional program or vice versa. He dealt with the customers in the shop, and he had a bench just where you're sitting. And he used to solder away among his wires, keeping a reserve up to scratch. So if somebody got a fault, we could replace their set.
And how long did that take?
It depends how far we had to carry it. About half an hour.
When was that, Jeff?
1936, 37.
How come we don't do that anymore?
Well, sets, I call them, but they were only really a speaker and a volume control.
And computer-matic products are a little more complicated. But seriously, if there's a better way to do it, why aren't we doing it? Why can't computer-matic cope in half an hour?
Well, it's different. These were rented.
I know that, but it interests me. Now, the sets you maintained here in reserve, what proportion would they be of the total number of sets in use, Jeff?
Couldn't put a figure on it, Ron.
Well, was it three sets, or was the place chocker with them?
Well, it depended how many old Johnny Long got round to repairing. In winter, we'd get up to perhaps a dozen sets in reserve. In summer, I've seen us down to none.
Oh, you had more breakdowns in summer?
No, we'd fewer sets repaired. Johnny Long went racing.
Still, there's a moral somewhere. Now, Tom, we're still just a little early, Tom.
I'll wait.
Fine, your man will be right round. And I'm sincerely sorry, Tom, for the inconvenience.
And you've put that in a letter?
Well, not physically, Tom.
Is it necessary? I mean, there's a lad coming to your machine, going without his lunch to do it. We're sorry for the inconvenience.
Put it in writing, then.
What for?
Just so that I've got something to waive next time I have to deal with your 100% never-wrong organisation.
There is actually a physical difficulty, Tom.
You mean you can't write?
Now, why say a thing like that?
No. We can't write, Tom. Jeff at his level and me at mine, we can't write outside letters.
Why not?
It's not how the system works.
And physically, it's not possible. Neither Jeff nor I has any printed letterheads.
But there are such things as computer-matic printed letterheads.
Why, sure.
So, somewhere in the ramifications of your organization, there is someone with authority to write and some paper to write on.
Sure, sure.
But not us.
That is the difficulty.
What difficulty?
Look. We're all acquainted now. We're all friends. Jeff and I have been through the tape.
Rod made do with a sandwich for lunch so we could go through the tape.
And Jeff missed out on slipping home to Daisy. And between friends, and without going into the nitty-gritty, without the who-said-what-to-whom tedium, we could say, okay, it got abrasive. It shouldn't have. We're sorry, Tom.
All right. Write that.
But we can't write to the general public.
Jeff, don't repeat that. Tom knows. But the point is, Tom, that if I formally go through my divisional manager to get a formal letter written, I have to be a great deal more specific.
All right, then. Be a great deal more specific.
Okay. Well, Jeff, it's your showroom. You speak.
Me?
We all agree it became a little abrasive, Jeff. You say why.
Well, if I'm to be put on the defensive...
Oh, no, Jeff. No.
Yes, I'm being asked for an explanation. Well... I'd say from the beginning. He was aggressive from the beginning.
No, nope.
That's my impression. You were exasperated by the blokes not turning up. You were looking for a fight.
You weren't even there when I came in.
I was on the telephone.
And until you popped on the scene, I was having a very even, very pleasant conversation with a young lady.
Pushing her?
I was not pushing her. And then you appeared from the wings in a burst of laughter.
Well, let's hear the tape again.
Oh, Mr. Gibbs, can you come through, please? We had a man in last week complaining that he'd been charged for 5 hours' labour.
That's right. 5 hours' labour. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
5 hours, he said. What could he conceivably have been doing for 5 hours?
He said he can't have been on...
He did, yes. He can't have been on the job 5 hours, he said.
And you said you wouldn't have thought so, but he must have been...
Because she'd signed for it.
Yes, well, these things do happen. There's no aggression there by anybody, just an awful lot of goodwill all round.
There was on my part.
And on Tom's.
Thank you.
At that stage.
That's the stage you were talking about.
It is, Jeff.
Now, what I meant was...
Okay, Jeff, okay. But looking deeper, if it's all sweetness and light, then suddenly it turns sour, then something else is to blame. And we've got to face this honestly, Jeff. Is it the system? I'm putting it as an open question, Jeff.
Well... Yes, it should be asked.
We know Tom's view. The question is, Jeff, how far might we have to agree that he's right?
Well, no system is 100% perfect.
No.
No man-made system.
No. About the joke, Jeff.
The joke?
Changing the subject and very much en passant.
Oh, I like to start with a joke.
To create a relationship?
Good relationship.
Well, it's not everybody's way, Jeff, but it's yours, and neither Computermatic in its corporate entity nor I as its area representative would dream of telling you how to suck eggs at a sale point.
Ah, that's nice.
But was that really the kind of story to tell in a high street branch of Computermatic?
Well, it was Merrill who was telling the...
Then maybe Merrill shouldn't have been telling. You're the manager, Jeff. You're her boss.
But I only came in halfway through.
Jeff, if you'd only come in at the laugh, that would have been enough for Mr. Cadman.
Mr. Cadman?
If he played this tape back to you, would you offer him the excuse you only climbed on the joke halfway through?
No, Mr. Barton.
Rod.
Rod.
If you wouldn't offer that excuse to Mr. Cadman, why offer it to me, Jeff?
Yes, Rod. I see, Rod. Yeah.
And there was another point, I think, Jeff.
Volkswagen Passat.
You're right. Volkswagen Passat and a pair of thighs like a wild horse. Poor lad, he's still running.
Yes. Would you like Mr. Cadman to hear that, Jeff?
No, Rod, I wouldn't.
Look, I'm not objecting to his joke.
No, this is entirely internal. And whatever anybody might think about the suitability or good taste of the jokes, the man that was telling them...
Let's say going along
with them. Or going along with them. There was manifestly infinite goodwill on his part at that stage. So what I'm throwing into the ring, Tom, and I ask this as an absolutely open question...
I know.
Know what?
How far is it me who was to blame for upsetting this happy joker?
Not in those words.
But along those lines. Well, it's exactly what I expected. You question your manager... And you query a system, but you know all the time where you're going. It's the unprofessed philosophy of your business. The customer is always wrong.
You see how quick he is and needling. Oh, I'm getting on in years.
You are, Jeff.
I didn't know what I was saying half the time.
Let's listen.
Somebody's got to be disappointed. Why? The engineers want all the jobs they can get. They're on a productivity bonus. Why don't they do the jobs then? Because, old son, the computer prints out more jobs than they're likely to do to make sure there isn't a shortfall. There'll be a few calls not done 9 days out of 10.
But if they know they're not coming...
They can't know they're not coming, old son, until they haven't been.
You see, at me like a machine gun. Why? One needling question after another.
And one dusty answer after another.
He flustered me.
Okay, Jeff. He flustered you, you provoked him. It's a human enough situation... I just wonder, Tom, whether having heard this back in the cold light of day, you don't feel...
That it's a 50-50 situation?
60-40, 70-30, but basically a misunderstanding, crossed wires.
I see. Nothing to apologize for.
It's not easy to pin down exactly what. It's sort of amorphous, Tom. Just how would I put it succinctly in an internal memo?
I see. I don't think you should try.
Well, I could,
no,
but...
No, you forget it. I'll write to Cadman.
To Mr. Cadman?
Well, that's the name, isn't it? That's the man who said he was the one person you could complain to in this crackpot organization.
You don't mean that.
I do.
But if it goes to Mr. Cadman, who knows
where... Okay, Jeff, okay. If you like to do that, Tom, well, it's your prerogative, but it is sort of drastic, at least before we've tried the usual steps.
I got the impression the usual steps were faltering.
Why, no, it's difficult at this precise moment in time to define exactly what I'd need to say in a memo on your behalf, Tom, but that's what we're working at, isn't it?
I thought we'd stopped working at it.
Why, no, Tom.
We're sorting it out.
The point I was making, and maybe I didn't put it too clearly, there's something ticking away in my mind, and it's more basic than manners.
How do you mean?
Putting it in a sentence, Jeff, cutting through the argy-bargy and the verbiage, getting right down to basics, what kind of a picture were you presenting of Computermatic?
That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't accept anything I said.
Jeff, we're not talking about Tom. We're talking about you.
I see. Just because he threatens to go to Mr. Cadman, you put me back in the dock again.
The general tenor, Jeff, was it calculated to be helpful?
Look, Ron...
Because Tom didn't find it so, did you, Tom?
You mean a big international organization can only be made to work by exasperating its customers to the point of roaring down telephones?
Well, did you mean that, Jeff?
Well, sometimes it takes several...
So you did mean it, Jeff?
Not in those words.
Then in what words, Jeff? Please, Jeff, go on. If not in Tom's words, in what words? Use your own words, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, let's forget about the words, but that drops us into deeper water, because if it's true in substance, you are saying it's true in substance, Jeff.
People do sometimes raise their voices.
Okay, it's true, and we come back to it. Somebody somewhere is going to have to look in his shaving mirror and ask himself why.
You mean Harry Fletcher?
Well, Harry operates the system, but he didn't devise it. It applies throughout the country and throughout Western Europe. And if we've got it wrong, the somebody who has got to look in his shaving mirror and admit it is... Who do you think?
I don't know.
Because I don't mind telling him. I prefer not to, but if it is wrong, Jeff, he'd be the first to want to know. Now, should I?
No! Rod, no!
It's only your experience, Jeff, and he knows you're not God, but if the complaint system really depends upon people shouting...
No, it doesn't, Rod, it doesn't.
Then why hurt Computermatic with words?
Darkless.
Why lie to Tom?
He wasn't lying.
Pardon me, Jeff, but didn't you say you were?
Yes, Rod. He is now, but he wasn't then. He was making the point that you get no service without creating a fuss.
Well, that's what I thought.
I've given a false impression. I apologize to you, Tom, and to you, Rod, and to Computermatic, who've always treated me right. I am under some stress.
Which explains it, Jeff. But Tom couldn't know. How is Daisy, Jeff?
As cheerful as can be expected.
A wonderful woman. But it must be taxing for you, Jeff.
She never complains.
With Daisy and trying to hold down an exacting job.
The job's no problem.
But a tough enough job without domestic...
It's better for us both that I stay at work.
And Computermatic doesn't want to lose you, Jeff, believe me. But you really mustn't set us at odds with the customer.
I appreciate that, but there are two sides. You're ignoring my point about his irritability.
Is that fair comment, Tom?
I was annoyed. I still am annoyed. You've heard the tape.
You did say some pretty strange things, Jeff.
Strange?
And, well, gratuitous.
Gratuitous, Rod?
Yes, gratuitous, Jeff. I won't play it back, but when you were talking about the organization, the diagram in the cube that hung in the conference hall, why, you know that wasn't really serious, Jeff. That was a fun balloon.
Well, I said it was to amuse
you. You didn't say it was a fun balloon, Jeff. Wasn't the conference fun?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Rod. I can't... Well, can you wait to get there next year?
No, Rod.
Apart, of course, from leaving Daisy overnight... You didn't say fun balloon, Jeff.
It was a fun balloon.
Sure, a fun balloon. And if you go on to say the organization can be explained only in a formula comprehensible to advanced mathematicians, why, that's crap, Jeff. What is it?
Crap, Rod.
The complexity of our organization must not be used to frustrate or bamboozle our clients or in any way conceal shortcomings on our own part.
Does the cap fit, Jeff?
Yes, Rod.
You were quoting a very wise man, Jeff.
Mr. Cutman.
And you were using the quote in perpetrating exactly the offense it was directed against.
Yes, Rod.
Tom, you tell us. Were you confused between the jokes and what was serious?
I was then, and I am now.
Understandably. You quote Mr. Cutman, Jeff, like he talked in fun balloons.
Not intentional.
Like he was a comic strip plutocrat.
No, Rod.
Yes, Rod.
He's only a human being like everybody else, but by... God, he cracks people. Staff, I'm talking about, really, not customers.
Now, is that a true image of Mr. Cadman?
People are shattered.
Is that a true image of Mr. Cadman?
No, Rod.
And the 107K? A crude electric clock and a plastic flange. Is that a true image of the product?
No, Rod.
A shit? A turd of the first magnitude? Is that language you'd use in the showroom?
I said it wasn't.
But you said it wasn't in the very course of using it. Everything's contorted and convoluted with you, Jeff, and that's not Computermatic's way, is it, Jeff?
No, Rod.
You've given Tom a very bad impression of Computermatic.
I realize I've slipped up.
Which surely you can't have meant, Jeff, because basically you're a loyal person. Well, you heard, Tom, how Jeff talked about his first employer, Johnny Lowndes.
Lowndes.
And I know you feel no less warm towards Mr. Cadman.
We all love him. It's the first thing you learn on the course.
A very old chestnut, Jeff. What would you say it was?
A very old chestnut, Mr. Barton.
Sure. And a man who doesn't mind cracks like that being thrown around the gentleman's lavatory at sales conferences, why, he can't be all that bad a guy.
I respect him.
Approachable. A man you can talk to. If you were brought up in front of
but
him...
But, Rod, there's no question
of... Oh, of course not, Jeff. But if there were, what would there be to fear?
He could terminate me. He could stop my pension. At my age, you think about
don't
that.
Don't worry, Jeff. We're not in that size of ball game. All you'll suffer, Jeff, you'll miss out on a bonus this time round.
Miss my bonus? But I've never missed my bonus before.
Well, Jeff, this situation has ever risen before.
Situation?
Tom has asked for an apology. We agree he's justified. All right. Do I send one memo to division asking for a letter of apology for your conduct and another recommending you for a bonus?
Look, I didn't mean to cause anything...
Okay, Tom, okay. This is an internal matter. Merrill?
Yes, Mr. Parton?
Is Tom's repairman outside?
There's been a mix-up.
What sort of mix-up? He was due at 1:30.
The message didn't get through.
Well, get me Harry Fletcher.
He's not there. He's gone to a meeting.
Well, who did he leave to cope for him?
Well, that's it. He didn't leave anybody to cope for him.
All right, then, his deputy, Rawnsley.
I spoke to him.
And what excuse did he have?
He didn't have any excuse. He didn't know anything about it.
But he does now.
Well, he's trying to sort something out.
Well, get him on the phone.
I can't.
Why not?
I told you. He's gone out to the yard to try and sort something out.
Oh, for Christ's sake! Tom, I can't say how embarrassed I am.
He'll give us a ring as soon as he's got something sorted out.
Tom, I guess there's nothing to say.
Stop Harry Fletcher's bonus.
Jeff, that is not acceptable. That is a crack and it is not acceptable.
Is that what you've done? Have you stopped his bonus?
Merrill, it is not your business.
Oh, you know he needs that bonus to take his wife aboard.
Merrill, that is my business. You see to yours. Just go back in the showroom and keep on that phone to service every 2 minutes till a repairman arrives at the door. I hope you'll have words with that young lady, Jeff.
Yes.
You heard what I said, Jeff.
I do not accept it. I do not accept it at all.
Accept what?
This upshot, this verdict, losing my bonus.
Okay, Jeff, okay.
I am being personally penalized for doing what the system requires me to do.
Jeff, I will not go over that ground again.
All right, then, let's go over some new ground.
Look, Tom doesn't want to hear...
But I want Tom to hear. He can verify what I say.
Maybe, Tom, you'd like to go on home and we'll send...
No, by God, I'm staying here, and so are you, until that repairman arrives.
The new ground being, if I may continue...
Oh, sure, Jeff, sure. We're all waiting for the repairman anyway.
That at that sales conference, when the cube of the organization was hung above the stage...
The fun balloon?
Yes, the fun balloon. It dangled above the head of the chief accountant, who was making some jokes of his own.
Old Bill Stone, they don't come any better.
The first joke being an explanation of why we have so many faulty machines delivered.
Manufacturing down to a price. It's legitimate.
Yes, that's it. It's cheaper to put faults right under guarantee than to improve quality control in manufacture.
All right, you've got to keep the production lines moving.
But that's not what I tell customers.
Well, I don't know what you tell customers.
Rod, you've stood here and listened to me. Great surprise. Never happened before. With just that little hint of a suggestion that it's them that's done something wrong. What kind of plug did you put on it? Are you sure your cold water pressure's all right? Have you been overloading it?
That's right. He accused me of having had it in pieces.
And you've heard me say that, Rod. Is that wrong, Rod?
It's not strictly honest.
But you didn't stop my bonus for that, Rod.
I do understand, Jeff. You can't explain to Mrs. Average that she's the odd, unlucky victim of manufacturing down to a price.
So, working for this 100% honest, hand-on-my-heart organization. Part of my job is lying to customers.
Part of your job is being tactful.
All right. Going back to our happy weekend with a fun balloon.
Jeff, Tom doesn't want to hear about our fun balloons.
I don't mind. I'm waiting. It's instructive.
So, going back to our happy weekend, Mr. Stone
Bill
was asked...
Bill Stone is an accountant, Jeff.
He was asked about this system of printing out more jobs than a repairman can get through in a day. We get the back rap of that, you know. We get people like Tom. He's been comparatively reasonable, but we get people ranting and roaring about waiting in time and time again and nobody calling...
Jeff, you're losing your thread. You were telling us what Bill said.
Well, Mr. Stone, I'm not on personal terms with the chief accountant, Rod. Mr. Stone said omitted people couldn't go to the top of new job cards because the journeys are planned for economically short legs and...
I was there, Jeff. And so they take their chance and might conceivably be omitted a second time. But then what did he say, Jeff?
Mathematics, he lost me.
Put simply, if a repairman makes 20 calls a day, of which he omits two, and that's about right, the chances of omitting any one person are 9 to 1 against...
According to where they live.
Okay. And if their name then goes back with no special privilege, the chance of their being omitted twice is 9 squared to 1. And the chance against being omitted 3 times is so great you couldn't write the figure along that wall.
But we have scores of people in who've been omitted 3, 4, and 5 times. Quite apart from those who come back because the job's not being done right.
That just cannot be so, Jeff.
It is. And Merrill through there will tell you so. Well, nobody was missed when me and Johnny Larne ran the relay here, but now with your international organization and your very human Mr. Cudman and all the clever buggers who surround him...
Jeff, you're going too far. Let it drop.
No, we'll go on with the fun balloon conference. Do you remember the question put by George Baxter from West Bromwich?
I don't know George Baxter.
When we get people in complaining about service, he asked, why can't we ring service and make a definite appointment? And, putting his argument into the approved form, he said he was sure Mr. Cadman wouldn't like our customers fobbed off.
Do you think Mr. Cadman would like our customers fobbed off?
Yes, I do.
Oh, come, Jeff, come.
And Mr. Stone said why. If you make one fixed appointment a day, you can reckon on missing two jobs. And that's a loss reckoned at £12.75. If you make two fixed appointments, it works out you lose five calls.
Jeff, Bill Stone is an accountant.
And we're run by accountants. If me and old Johnny Long got a complaint, we didn't run to a bloody computer to ask if we could afford the tram fare to go out.
Jeff, if I can finish. Bill Stone is an accountant. He was expressing an actuarial view.
The effect of which is that I have to fob people off in the shop.
It is not. You have to persuade them to be served by the system which will always work.
It doesn't.
Even if not at the first time of asking. And the alternative, dashing off immediately to every complaint, is a non-system, which could rapidly leave a far greater number without service.
So, if I get on the phone to Harry Fletcher...
You disrupt a system 98% perfect.
But that's exactly what you've been doing every 5 minutes since you arrived.
Look, Tom was exasperated. Tom wanted visible action.
And so does everybody who comes in here banging on the counter.
The system works.
The system does not work. I lie to the customers. You lie to me.
I do not.
I lie for Daisy and my pension. You lie for a Cortina, $5,000 a year, and your bonus, if it doesn't get stopped.
Jeff, stop it. That's personal.
And what you've done stopping my bonus isn't personal, is it?
It's my responsibility.
Your
to ensure...
responsibility. That's a bigger pull than your Cortina and your 5,000. It makes something of you, doesn't it? A colour supplement bloody executive talking out of the side of your mouth and pushing around the lesser fry like me.
This organisation is...
a fun organisation, and the fun is tier upon tier of subtle bullying. You bully me, the divisional manager bullies you, somebody else bullies him.
That is not so.
The only people not playing the game both ways are them at the bottom, like me, with nobody to needle but the customers, and him at the top, the great Panjandrum Cadman. And for all I know, his wife bullies him.
Jeff, you're way off limits.
Human bloody Cadman with his big family and his large smile. Love him like a father. Everybody's so scared of him and his capricious moralising that the whole bloody organisation is paralysed.
What are you trying to prove?
I've been victimised today. I've been used as a scapegoat.
Scapegoat?
Yes, scapegoat. The lightning conductor. When Tom came back at lunchtime, we were all set to give him the usual treatment. Faults on both sides. Misunderstanding all round.
Did I say anything like that?
Did he say anything like that, Tom?
Yes, he did.
But then you mentioned writing to Cadman. Oh, you should have seen your face, Rod, when he mentioned Cadman's name. What if the great Panjandrum happened to see his letter? What if it led to one of the grand inquisitions like we had at Exeter and Birmingham? We all know what's to blame. It's the system. But that's not a conclusion anybody's allowed to come to. It's always got to be some poor bloody individual. And just to make sure on this occasion that the lightning doesn't strike you... You've set me up as a whipping boy.
Jeff, you're hysterical. You're mixing your metaphors. You're absurd. Shut up.
You put Tom on trial and he wouldn't have any. And then you put me on trial. All right, Barton. You're on trial. The system is on trial now.
There is no way the system can be put on trial. There is no way you can put me on trial. Now shut up.
What's going on? They can hear you out in the street.
What is it, Merrill?
Service. Mr. Ormsby.
What about him?
He's on the phone. He wants you.
Excuse me.
Oh, Mr. Gibbs. What's the matter, Mr. Gibbs?
I'm all right.
Do you want a glass of water?
I'm all right.
Oh, this is your fault.
My fault?
Just look at the state he's in.
Well, I've said nothing. He's been blowing his top at his boss.
Oh, you lost him his bonus. Do you know what that bonus means
all
to him?
All right, Merrill.
No, he needs it to take his wife abroad. Must I spell it out? If she doesn't go this year, there may not
all
be...
All right, Merrill, all right.
No, why did you have to make this sort of fuss?
I just wanted the machine mended, that's all.
Oh, sort of wonders who come in here. But they don't demand post-mortems like this. They don't demand his head on a plate.
I demanded nothing.
You demanded a letter of apology. Do you really want it? Do you still really want that?
Oh, all right, then. It doesn't matter.
Right, then. Tell him.
The letter, Barton.
Yep.
Forget it.
Why? thank you, Tom.
Oh, so that's all right about his bonus, then.
Jeff and I will talk later.
I apologize, Rod. I apologize for what I said.
Yes, Jeff.
So we're all right, then. Mr. Gibbs has apologized. Tom's withdrawn his request. We're back at square one.
Okay, Merrill, okay.
Aren't we? Well, aren't we?
Merrill, whatever Tom says now, and whatever Jeff says now, water has flowed under the bridge.
Oh, what bridge?
For Christ's sake, we've been phoning service for the past 2 hours. If the divisional inspector saw the log and asked why...
You'd still need me as a scapegoat.
Jeff, don't make it worse.
Look, he's badly under strain.
I know he is. And I want to talk about that later, Jeff.
If you've anything to say, Rod, get it said.
Okay, Jeff. You're badly under strain.
We've said that.
And quite honestly, it's got beyond the stage where I can handle it at my level.
How do you mean?
I'm sending your papers to personnel.
And what happens then?
Well, they're trained psychologists. They'll have my report.
You're going to write a report?
And they'll read that and weigh it against the general background. Maybe listen to the tapes.
You're taking the tapes?
Before making a recommendation on your case.
My case?
To Mr. Cadman.
Oh, no, Rod. Please, Rod.
You demanded to know, Jeff. I've told you. Good afternoon.
Just a minute. What about my machine?
What about my machine?
Sorry, Tom. I spoke just now to service. They apologize, Tom, and we'll put this in writing if you wish. But there was a sort of failure in communication for which the fault is ours alone.
Is the repairman coming or not?
Oh, he is, Tom. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I've got a cast iron assurance, Tom. You're right there on the printout.
But I could have got right there without ever coming here.
Well, why did you come here, then?
Because I've been at that point twice before and it didn't get the machine mended.
And is it worth all the trouble you've caused just to get a machine mended?
It isn't mended!
Quite! When it isn't even mended in the end.
It's my fault. It's my fault entirely. Rod, if you could see your way...
Jeff, I must go. Tom, I'm really sorry about all this. I'll get a letter in the post to you.
Oh, but Mr. Pardon, please.
Rod, please, Rod, if I could just explain...
Jeff, it's out of my hands. Mr. Cadman deals with personnel matters Wednesday afternoons. The London train leaves at 10:10. Be on it, Jeff. Report to reception at 2 p.m.
Oh, Mr. Gibbs.
My God. Oh, my God. Poor Daisy.
Well, Tom, I hope you're satisfied.
All I wanted...
I know, Tom. I know. I hope you're satisfied.
In Fun Balloons by Don Howarth, Merrill was played by Cleone Reeve. Tom by Alan Rothwell. Jeff Gibbs, Ronald Baddeley, and Rod Parton, Jonathan Price. The play, first broadcast in 1977, was directed in Manchester by Alfred Bradley.